Shvius Perik Zayin Mishnah Zayin 7-7. Vered Chadash Shekavshu B'Shemen Yashan. A new rose that has been sitting, soaking in old wine. So the case here, the Chadash means the seventh year. So this rose is the seventh year Shemitah rose. And it's been soaking in sixth year oil. And the question is, if the taste or the scent of the rose is imparted to the oil, does that now confer Shemitah status, since the rose is a Shemitah rose, to the oil? So the Mishnah says, Yilaket es avered. The words mean pluck out the rose, and that's that. So the Pshat of the Bar Tanura is that provided that the rose is still in its seventh year and the time of beer hasn't arrived, so then one can simply remove the rose, and it doesn't matter that some scent or flavor, ta'am, has been imparted to the oil. Since the time of beer hasn't arrived yet, there's no requirement to be mevayer to destroy or remove, you know, beer. Maybe it means simply to make hefker, to reclaim whatever beer is. There's no obligation to do beer on the oil, provided that the rose was plucked out before the time of beer arrived. On the other hand, if the time of beer had arrived, as the Mishnah will say now, then everything becomes equally restricted in chayv and beer. The way the Mishnah says that, according to Bar Tanura, is v'yashan b'chadash, an old one in new, is chayv and beer. What does that mean? So the Bar Tanura understands that the old means this is an old rose, meaning it's a rose, again, from the Shemitah year, that's sitting in chadash, new oil, that's eighth year olive oil. So this is a little confusing for a handful of reasons, but this starts out being confusing already because what used to be called in the previous half of the sentence as chadash, referring to the seventh year, is now chadash, now refers to eighth year. And yashan, which previously referred to sixth year, is now referring to seventh year. I can't tell if that's the Bar Tanura's pshat. So again, the yashan, an old, meaning seventh year rose, b'chadash, that's sitting in new, meaning eighth year oil. Since now you're in the eighth year, and the time for beer has passed, and therefore one should have removed the flowers, the roses from his home, but didn't. So the rose becomes usher because he failed to do beer. And now since the flavor has been imparted from the rose into the oil, so now the oil also has the prohibitions of having not done beer, and the oil, like the rose, becomes must be destroyed because it's the time of beer passed and the beer wasn't done. That's the pshat of the Bar Tanura. The second case of the Mishnah, now we'll, according to the Bar Tanura, say nothing really new. That's the truth. We'll just give a different example of carobs and that are sitting and soaking in wine. And forget the words of the Mishnah. According to the Bar Tanura, the principle is exactly the same, the words notwithstanding, meaning that if the time for beer has passed, then not only the carobs, which are Shemitah carobs, now make not just the carobs forbidden, but also the wine in which they were soaking forbidden. And if the time for beer hadn't yet passed, then as long as you take the carobs out in time, then the carobs have their beer requirement, but the wine remains totally permitted in terms of beer. So that's how the Bar Tanura learns it. Just in case you're wondering, there's a general rule that for kvisha, for soaking, pickling a solid and a liquid, we assume that it takes 24 hours under normal circumstances for the taste to transfer from the thing, the solid, which is soaking in the liquid, to transfer from the solid to the liquid. So we're assuming that's what's happening here. In any case, the words of the Mishnah now read, Charuvin Chadashim Shekavshin Beyayin Yashan. If you have new carobs, meaning seventh year Shemitah carobs, that have been kavash, that have been stewing in, pickling in, soaking in, yain, that's yashan, old wine, meaning sixth year wine. But the Bar Tanura understands the pshat is that the case is that the time for beer has already passed. Or the yashanim, you have old, meaning seventh year again, carobs, b'chadash, and new, meaning eighth year wine. So then, of course, the time for beer has passed because you're in the eighth year. And that being the case, in both cases, chayavan bebir, in both cases, since the time for beer has passed on the carobs, both the carobs and the wine have to be removed, you know, have to be destroyed, whatever it is, because the time for beer has lapsed and wasn't done properly. So the cases are different because in the first case, according to Bartan Rav, the cases are different because in the first case, when we had roses and oil, we had said that the two cases were before and after Biur. And now the second case here, when we're talking about carobs inside wine, the din is the same, the principle is the same, but the case is, in both cases, the time for Biur has already passed for the carobs. That's the Bartan Rav pshat. It's strange to read in the words. He defends himself by simply saying, and rightly so, that this is explicit. This setup is explicit in a Tosefta. He's following the Tosefta, like the Russian Rosh do. And that being the case, he says that's the pshat in the Mishnah. What do you want? The Rambam has a totally different read in the Mishnah, and his read resolves the weirdness between the sort of asymmetry of the cases as well as the asymmetry between Chadash and Yashan. He has a totally different pshat. The Rambam pshat is simply that there is a very big difference between oil and wine, and also between carobs and roses, and that is simply one of practicality. Is this solid able to impart flavor, scent, taste into this liquid? If yes, then it confers the iser, the beer requirements as well. And if no, then it can't. So the Rambam simply understands that when it comes to fresh roses, the scent is not very potent. And when it comes to old oil, its ability to absorb scent and flavor is not very good anymore. And that being the case, says the Rambam, when it comes to roses and oil, if the roses are fresh and therefore not potent smelling, and the oil is old and therefore not very receptive to receiving flavor, in such a setup, the rose won't impart flavor to the oil, and therefore there's no obligation in terms of beer with respect to the oil, even if the time for beer has passed. On the other hand, when it comes to old and therefore potent roses that are soaking in fresh oil, which is very receptive to receiving flavor or taste or scent, so then the scent in the roses will be imparted into the oil, and therefore the oil carries the same beer requirements as the roses do. Then in contrast to carob soaking in wine, which at all events, whether the carobs are fresh or old, whether the wine is fresh or old, it doesn't matter. The flavor, after even just one day of sitting carob inside of the wine, there will be carob flavor in the wine. And that being the case, there will be the restrictions of beer on the wine, just as equally applied to the carobs from which the wine received that carob flavor. So that's the Rambam's pshat here. Okay, which doesn't have anything to do with the Tosefta at all, but at least it resolves some of those various quirks about how the Mishnah is sort of incongruous or asymmetrical. The Mishnah continues on. The Mishnah says, "Zeh klal." This is the principle. Kol shu benosin tam, and this principle here is a principle that would be relevant with respect to all iser, forbidden foodstuffs that are imparting taste to heter, to permitted foodstuffs. So the klal is the principle is in general. Kol shu benosin tam. If there's enough time or quantity for the forbidden item to impart taste, no santam, to give a flavor, to impart taste to what was heter, then chayv leva'er, then there'd be an obligation, like, for example, if we're talking about Shemitah, you'd have to do beer because it receives its taste and becomes asr also. Min b'she'en omino, in the scenario where you have two different types of foods. So that could be roses in oil, it could be carobs in wine, it could be fish in oil, it could be, you know, pig juice in your chicken soup, etc., etc., etc. All those cases, that's called min b'shein omino. In all those cases, if you have no sentam, if you have an imparting of taste, the taste is discernible in the mixture, you can taste some of the iser present, then the whole thing has restrictions of the iser, in this case, beer, but if it would be, you know, pig juice into your chicken soup, it means the chicken soup is also a benosan tam, which we assume is, under normal circumstances, 60 required. If you have 60 times as much chicken soup as pig juice, then you'd assume that there's no way to discern the taste of the pig juice, and therefore wouldn't be benosan tam, and would be batal, meaning that the pig juice and the chicken soup would be annulled and not relevant, and the soup would remain permissible. As opposed to min bimino, now you have two of the same types of food stuff mixing together. So it could be Shemitah wine with non-Shemitah wine, or it could be nothing with Shemitah at all. It would apply to anything. Like if you have like chalent meat, where it turns out that some of the chalent meat came from an improperly shechted animal and some from a properly shechted animal, but you have chalent meat cooking together, and the chalent, whatever the story is. So now you have min b'mino, you have meat with meat, and they're sharing tastes. In those cases, kol shehu, according to our Tana here, any amounts of imparting of taste, any amount of mixture of iser with hetzer makes the whole thing usser. That is to say, that at least according to this Tana, since the meat and the meat have the exact same taste, you can't say that the forbidden meat flavor is totally overwhelmed and disappeared and annulled by the hetzer, the permissible meat, because the taste is still there. It all just tastes like meat. There's no like loss of taste. So at least according to this Tana, which is not lahalacha, but according to this Tana, if you have min b'mino, two things that are of the same type of food mixed together, then even the littlest bit of iser will make the whole mixture forbidden. In practice, really, we paskin b'pashas that when it comes to min b'mino mixtures, so then midoraisa, you need just to rove heter, the majority should be heter of the mixture, and derbanan, we still want to 60 times, but that's all, not more than that. Now, the Mishnah then says, specifically with shvius, when it comes to Shemitah produce, as opposed to any generic isurim like makosher meat or pig juice, etc., when it comes to shvius, that's oseres b'kol shehu b'mina. Similarly, if you have two of the same type of foodstuff mixing together, let's say, for example, Shemitah wine and non-Shemitah wine mixing together, so it says even the littlest bit of Shemitah wine will make the whole mixture restricted as with Shemitah restrictions, meaning, for example, that you, once the bartender speaks out, it's once the time for beer has passed, then the restrictions kick in totally, and you wouldn't be able to, deal with this wine mixture commercially, and you wouldn't be able, you'd have a chiyuv of beer, etc., etc. The shalob amina, if you have two different types of foods, Shemitah foods, mixing together, like the first part of our Mishnah with the, for example, the carobs and the wine, etc., then benosan tam, then it all just depends on whether or not the taste of the forbidden component, meaning the taste of the carobs, let's say, is discernible in the wine. If it is, then, and you need 60 times just under normal circumstances of, if you have less than 60 times wine to the carobs, for example, then you have carob flavor in the wine, and then once you've passed the time of beer, then the whole mixture is required to be removed, and since you didn't do beer properly, destroyed. Both the carobs and the wine, which has the carob flavor inside of it. So the truth is that lahalacha, we say if it's min b'mino, it isn't kol shehu. You would need to have midoraisa rov and midorabana 60 times. But when it comes to Shemitah, we are more strict. And after the time of biur has passed, then if you're talking about a min b'mino mixture, two of the same types, so again, we are strict and are strict even I believe, for a kol shehu, then have any taste at all, like the Mishnah says.